Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel.
So praise God. I tell you what, I'm going to get you back up on your feet. Let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word. Praise God. Let's do that this morning. And I'm going to try to tie a lot into this today, time-wise, and we'll see how this goes. But if you have your Bibles, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. If I could get just a little more juice in my mic, that would be awesome. 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to pick up at verse 5. You guys ready to read the word?
Yeah.
Amen. It says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, and to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that what he was cleansed from, his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will not stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word, and I thank you, Father, for just the great, wonderful gift of faith. And Lord, even that gift that's upon this house, Father. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, even as we're together during this time today, Lord, I pray that there would be great faith released in the hearts of people, Father. And Lord, that our minds would be transformed and conformed to your word, Father. Lord, give us a heart to receive today. Lord, eyes to see, Father, and Lord, ears to hear. Faith comes by hearing. So, Father, give us great understanding and hearing today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. Just a bit of an update. I know one of the things we've been working diligently over the last few weeks to make some transitions and to begin to make this move. I want to say something about moving, because moving's never easy. Has anybody ever had an easy move? Moving is never easy. It's not one of those things that's easy going. It's easy peasy. But it was very interesting, even this morning, as I was thinking about this word of diligence, and thinking about what God's called us to, not just one of us, but He's called the body of Christ to. And we actually are, we've got a lot of work done over the last few weeks, and we are planning. I don't foresee any problems this week. There's a lot of work still yet to be done, but we're going to be making the move next week. We'll be holding our Sunday morning service there at 10 a.m. So there's the diligence that will take place this week. Teams, meet with your teams, meet with your people if you need to be at the facility for anything. Now, I want to say this. Is everything going to be perfect next week? No. But, we're at this place where I felt, even this morning as I got up and I prayed about it, and I thought, maybe we just need to hold off. And my thing with holding off was, well, if we hold off one more week, and then it'll be another week, then it'll be another week. There'll always be something coming up. And whether or not, if we don't have microphones next week, we don't have microphones. We'll have chairs for people to sit in, for sure. Amen. We'll gather tomorrow. Next week, we'll gather, we'll meet, and we'll be having our services there. So next Sunday. So praise God. And there's a lot of details that need to be worked out. I'm not going to get into that from the pulpit this morning. But there's a lot of things even that's taking place today and well into tomorrow and through the week. And those that have volunteers, those that have helped, thank you. And we're going to require some more time this week from people. And we're gonna make things happen. Praise God. But I want to focus on this word today, because I felt that this word was really. It's a word, and I know that I preached around this, but it was that I was beginning to see something else. And as I thought about our services today, for me this is bittersweet, because we started some 6 years ago in this location, and many of you may not know about this location, but when Moran and I actually arrived here and we bought this building, we met with the owners, previous owners of the building, and really got the history on this location. And many may not know, or some may know based upon testimonies, but, you know, some of the things that actually took place out of this location, there was a great revival in the 70s. I've met people, and my dentist from Ritchie County actually attended a revival meeting here as a college student, got filled with the Holy Ghost sitting on a set of steps up in the upper part of the building. So that's pretty cool. But during the Jesus movement, many of you, did anybody see that movie? You know, what was the name of the movie called? I can't remember. Jesus Revolution. Well, there was revival breaking out even in the hills of West Virginia. Miranda's grandma had revival meetings in a little one-room shack, and those things were happening on the college campus. But this facility was used to facilitate and launch people out. And the lady that pastored here, actually just through testimony, we had discovered that she had had people visit her from all over the world. And there were Polynesians, there were people from Africa. They would have sessions with her in this building, and she would meet with them, she would pray with them, and many people were sent out even from that, and a lot of wonderful testimonies. And but you know, I think the thing of it for us is we knew God was calling us to this part of West Virginia. And I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful that he has. And when you arrive in a community and you really don't know anybody, Moran and I didn't know anybody. We knew some people that were in Morgantown, some college kids, but we didn't know anybody. And it was just our family that launched out here. There was at that time five of us, and then we had some Halama had moved down and moved down. She had moved across, not down, but she had moved across from Hawaii, and you know, got involved with the work, and her and Zane ended up, and you know, started courting and ended up married. Praise God! But we've seen God do marvelous things here, and it was interesting last night. I kind of backtrack a little bit, not to get into. I'm not looking at the past, but you know, in 2019. When we got here, we hit the streets. One of the things we did was we went out to share the good news, amen, and to you know, invite people and begin to create that culture. But that year we had 412 salvations in 2019. In 2020, we just continued to you know, continue to go, amen. It was just the mindset of always going. We had 872 salvations in 2020, and 2021, I think it was, when was COVID? When did COVID hit? I don't even. Was it 2020, 2021? I'm somewhere around in there. But, you know, 2021, I know that we had a real strong emphasis on winning souls. And that, you know, the nation, things were on lockdown. But that year, there were 993 salvations. You know, these are not just generalized numbers. These are numbers that we count. I know that there's more potentially that's not here. And 2022, there were 284. 2023, there were 206. 2024, 256. This year so far, right around 50. But that brings, you know, from the inception of this church, you know, we've seen right around 3,000 salvations. I rejoice in that. Amen. That's a good thing. It's a good thing that we've always had that mindset to win souls. Amen. And we're not leaving that area. We'll still be diligent, amen, to make sure souls are won to Christ Jesus. And we track that, you know, not for a purpose of look at us or anything like that. We track that just for it to be an encouragement. As I went back into 2019, I seen the excitement in just 5 or 7, 8, 9, 10 people that were just, you know, encouraging one another. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about the body of Christ, is that we're here to sharpen one another, we're here to encourage one another, and we're here to help one another. Amen. So but let's look at this word, you know, diligence. You know, you'll see in Hebrews, you know, Hebrews 11 in verse 6, the Bible says that he is a rewarder. Before I get into this text, he's a rewarder to those that diligently seek him. He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. And if there's one thing that I want you to come away with today, is that our God is a rewarder. He truly wants to put something. He puts the Holy Spirit in you. But as we're diligent to do the things that God calls us to do, He is a rewarder. Amen. So just let that sink in from the very beginning this morning. Diligence. Let's talk about this diligence or steady or perseverance. It's just even that word. It's a word of persistence. And I want to tell you today that, you know, we don't get things done if we're not diligent. if we just back away, we don't get things done. I felt, you know, pastor's like, we're going to move next week, right? You know, it's like, you know, yeah, that can seem maybe a little bit overwhelming. But I think sometimes that, you know, looking at life and looking for opportunities for everything to be perfect, for everything to line up, it doesn't really happen that way. I have found the greatest level of faith that I've ever walked in, the things that God's called me to, was that I didn't have it figured out, but I knew that He was calling me to take a step. He was calling me to take a step of faith. And I got, guys, listen, he's calling the church. He's calling you. He's calling me to say, you know, let's take this step. Let's take this step. You know, what's the end game? Well, the end game, I believe for the church, the Bible says that we occupy. It's very simply put, that we occupy until He comes. But occupation doesn't mean that you can be just set back and allow things to happen. And I believe that's what Peter's talking about, even in this text. It's, you know, if you go to the first part of this chapter, it's like, you know, Peter is saying he wants us to have the revelation of Jesus Christ. He, you know, because that's what carries us. People don't carry us, but it's the revelation of who Jesus is. It's in the very writings, it's in the very words that Jesus carries to His church, to His disciples, that we rest in that we rest in His word. But that we're diligent. We're Christians that remain steadfast. You know, it's interesting because as I thought about this, you know, I know there are things that are opposite of even just that word of diligence. You know, in Proverbs, you'll see Proverbs, which I think is such a remarkable book. And I'm not going to go through every scripture that deals with diligence or anything like that today. But you know, in Proverbs 10:4, it says, "Lazy hand makes for poverty. But diligent hand brings wealth." Proverbs 13:4, it says, "A sluggard's appetite is never filled, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied." I said earlier, Hebrews 11:6, that he is a rewarder to those that diligently seek Him. So what am I? What are you saying, Pastor? You know, we're getting ready to make a move, right? We're getting ready to make a move. So it's like, and I want you to understand, it's not just about a building. You know, I rejoice. You know, I talked to Brother Justin yesterday, and how was your meeting at the facility? He was like, it was really good. You know, we had this happen. It's that we're not just moving to a building, but we're moving to a bigger idea or a bigger influx of what God wants to do through each and every one of us. That God does. He truly does. He wants to do more things through you. As a pastor, Pastor Rand and I both, you feel this. You know that God wants to do more through you. But what does that take? It's going to take a steadfastness. It's going to take can I give you another word that goes along with diligence? It's going to take commitment. it will take a commitment. It will be something that you have to say, you know what, I'm committed. I'm committed that I'm not going to lose sight, that I'm not going to waver, that I'm not going to back down. I believe that's the greatest call on the church right now is that you know what, no matter what, I'm not backing down. You know, in Galatians 6 verse 9, the Bible says, it's so interesting as I've listened to preachers this week. I've heard this scripture brought up quite a bit. Don't grow weary in well doing. Don't grow weary in well doing. That you stay in it. You'll reap a harvest. Don't grow weary. You know, there are certain times, you know, certain, you know, people call them seasons. There are certain times that things, you know, I believe spiritually, you know, things, you know, I'm not getting into all spiritual things today, but there are certain times in people's lives where, man, I'm telling you, you can work, you can be diligent, you can, but you get tired. Anybody ever get tired? Anybody ever feel like a weariness? Do you ever you ever just be like, how am I going to do this? Pastor Brent and I looked at each other last week. I mean, literally, for the last week and a half, 2 weeks, just things that we've, I mean, it's been, I don't even, like I said, I don't like to say the word busy. But, it, you know, it's we've had a lot going on. We looked at each other on Thursday, said, did we miss our meeting Tuesday? We have an international meeting that we're on. And we both just looked at each other and we're like, I don't know, did we miss our meeting? What? You know, then we started talking just for like 5 minutes and it was like, well, we missed this and I was supposed to do this. And it's like, you know, and we got this laser-like focus, and we're like, you know, we're going to get in this building. You know, it's not something. There's an urgency. It's not about the building, but there's an urgency to go to another level. There's an urgency to say, you know what, I've got to pursue this. I got to pursue it with a passion. I got to pursue it with everything in me. I've got to pursue it. You know, honestly, it was like when we got this building, I knew that we had to pursue it. You're like, really? No, really. It was like there was such a release. We didn't have money. You know, we put an offer in on this place and we didn't even have jobs. You know, banks, well, you know, you'd have to have 2 or 3 years of working experience before we'll give you a loan. I had faith. He's like, you want to put an offer in? I mean, he thought we had, you know, he thought we were coming in, was paying cash for everything. You know, the next day, our real estate guy says, well, so how are you going to, are you putting down a down payment or anything? And we had some money in the bank. That I said, we can put some money down. And even the deposit that was required, I negotiated it down. You have not because you ask not. They're like, well, you need $2,500 down. I said, I'd rather not pay $2,500. Let me give you $500. Call them up and see. I tell them I'll give them $500 for the down payment or whatever to lock it up or whatever. My realtor's like, they won't do that. I said, just call and ask. Yeah, he called me back. They'll do it. $500. Because I didn't want to put $2,500 down, money that I would potentially lose if I lost it. You have not because you ask not. But I'm not. That's a whole other deal, right? You understand? That's a little seed right there. Little seed. You need to ask. So ask. But Peter's saying something in this text, and it's very profound. It's powerful. Let's go back and look at this real quick. It says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence. You know, so he's saying giving all diligence. And I love that because it doesn't just say give, it says giving. It doesn't just say some, it says all. Giving all. It's not, you just do it whenever you feel like it. No. You give. You give and you remain in a place of giving and pouring out. Amen. That's I believe sometimes as a Christian we miss that side of it. I'll pour out when I feel like pouring out. I'll do whatever I do when I feel like it's not. If you base your Christianity off about how you feel and your emotional side of things, man, you'll easily come away from being diligent in the things God's calling you to be. Amen. This wasn't necessarily the message that I was preparing today to preach the last Sunday service here. But I believe God's wanting to release greater faith in the body, greater understanding, a greater revelation that, hey, we're coming up and we're going higher from faith to faith, from glory to glory. Amen. But he says, look at this. He says, add to your faith. Now, you know, it's interesting because even as I read this last night, it was like, add to your faith. And In the Greek, what it meant, Pastor Brian, come here a second. Come here. Zephan, come here a second. You know, even, grab my hand. You know, that adding to your faith, in adding, did anybody like addition in school? Yeah. I liked adding. Didn't understand the subtract. See, I can't even say the word subtraction. See, I blah, 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 yeah. Subtracting. I didn't understand that. You borrow, you take one from another one. Well, what is that? That's what kind of math is that? That's like Common Core math now. I don't know, but I didn't understand it. But that adding to is just like this. There's a link. there's a link. And even when you understand, you get into the Greek and Hebrew, that adding to was like was just like this. It's from one thing to another thing. They're linked together. And that's what Peter's saying in this text, that you need this stuff. This stuff that I'm getting ready to go over, you need this stuff. That it's not faith over here. It's linked. These things are so important. They're linked together. Add to. You know, and even the picture that I thought about it was because, we're not going to do it because it would look funny, but you ever see like people grab hands and they just dance? You know, they're like, there's a really cool song going off and there's like four or five, we're not going to do that, right? We're not going to do that. Zeffin probably would, but we're not going to do that. But it would be like that there's an interlinking of these things that coexist together for a very strong purpose and a reason. See, you don't, when you get, they're saving faith. You guys, we're not going to dance. Zephan, you're not holding her hand. You broke the chain. Amen. Anyway, so, hold hands. Yeah, so you just grab my hand because you love me. So, but it's like that. You guys see that picture? It's like the adding to. It's like you these things coexist together. And that's what Peter's saying, add to your faith, add to your faith, add to your faith. See, faith, you can be seated. See, faith, you have a saving faith. You get saved. Jesus comes down and he saves you. Isn't that awesome? Isn't it awesome that you get saved? Salvation's great. It's your ticket to heaven. But guess what Peter's saying even in this text? Guess what Jesus is wanting us to get? He's wanting to see it. He's wanting us to get this. I'm going to add to your faith. We can't say so. I've got faith, but I don't have these other things. These other things are so important. You didn't just get saved for yourself. Oh my, what a revelation. You got saved so that others could see your life. They could see the life of a believer. Just like what I prayed over you two today. You watch, and there'll be a place, I don't, just move back here this summer. Praise God. Get married earlier. I don't know, but there's a place for you because God has anointed you. He's anointed you, and I see it. I see your heart for kids. You need to connect with Miss Bev. I see it. I see it. I see that heart. It's that connecting anyway. It's that connecting. But watch this, because he says, giving all diligence, add to your faith. So we're adding virtue. What is virtue? It's excellence. That you can be, oh my, virtue. You're becoming stronger as a believer. You're becoming stronger as a Christian. Excellence. Virtue, that you're adding virtue to virtue, knowledge. I'm going to go through these quickly. I don't want to hang around them. These are great words. To virtue, knowledge. Gnesko, that word I shared with it recently. To know, knowledge. Gnesko. And Peter, if you look at the text, Peter's taking us back to the text in this scripture and saying, you need to know Jesus. Church, we need to know Jesus. We need to have the revelation of the word. That we need to know him. Know him at a deeper level. Know the Holy Spirit. He's Jesus too. Isn't that good news? That we would know the Holy Spirit. Worldly knowledge is not, you know, see the thing about worldly knowledge is, can it produce? Yeah, it can produce. But the kind of production that we're talking about is even having the greater knowledge of Christ. The wisdom from heaven. That wisdom is priceless. To know, to not knowledge, just to knowledge, self-control. Why would he put all these things together? Wow, I think it's a really cool list. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue to knowledge. Knowledge to self-control. Why is self-control is a fruit of the Spirit? Self-control. Why self-control? Why should Christians be self-controlled? If they're not, it will truly be a sign to everybody around that you're a Christian. You don't have any control in your tongue. You don't have any control in your actions. You're this. Add to your faith self-control. When the enemy comes, in like a flood, you know, we've been talking about abundance. So the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You understand that dynamic. The enemy will try to bring anything in, to throw anything at you, to pull you away from the things of God. Everybody knows that, right? You're aware. Has anybody not been attacked by the enemy? Has anybody here it's been easy peasy? No, I don't believe it to be that way. But add to your faith self-control. Man, I tell you, self-control is sometimes, man, it's that temperance. It says this, so I do this because it says it. I don't compromise. That temperance, it's like abstaining from alcohol. I do it because that's a choice that I've made. There's a temperance. There's an attitude that I have about it that I just don't go here. I don't do this or I don't do that. Self-control is such a, it is a fruit of the Spirit. But self-control is one of those things, man, if we gain the knowledge of, if we gain the knowledge of self-control, what are we doing? We're adding to our faith. We're adding to our faith. All these things, we're adding virtue. We're adding knowledge which produces more faith, which produces greater faith. Does anybody want greater faith? I do. I do. Add to these things. How do I gain greater faith in Christ? Man, can I know him at a deeper level? Can I Gnesco? Can I know him at a deeper level? Yeah, I can. What's it going to take? It's going to take my understanding. It's going to take me spending time with him. You know, it's going to take that the development of a relationship. It's going to take me getting into prayer. You know, tonight we're going to do this tonight. Tonight's testimony night. Miss Tamara had her. If you have a testimony tonight, I felt even tonight. I want to do this. In this house, I want people, whether it's, take 2 to 3 minutes, because I believe there will be a lot of people tonight. But I would like for people, if you would like to share a testimony tonight, just see me. I mean, I've seen God do so many amazing things. It's like what Pastor Miranda said today. We sometimes put off or we forget. We sometimes forget what God's done for us. So tonight we're going to celebrate that. Is that okay? Can we celebrate that in the house tonight? I mean, I think that would be an encouragement. Self-control, our temperance. Man, there's just so much. I've got 6 pages of notes. I got so wrapped up into this yesterday, and I got into different parts of this study. But to knowledge, self-control, perseverance. What, guys? It will take perseverance in your life. It will take that pursuing with a passion what God's called you to. It's a not quitting. It's a not letting up. Are there moments and times where we have to, it's not that we're backing away. Maybe it's, I believe a lot of times it's we don't have the revelation. We don't have the knowledge. So there's that idleness that we get, but that we remain in a place that we're going to persevere. My wife and I, if you guys, one thing you should know about us, we work hard, we're very diligent, and we persevere. You have a pastor. We will persevere. No matter the situation, no matter the circumstance, we're going to persevere. We're going to get to the other side of it. Get into the trenches with people. We'll do that. Amen. Many of you know, right? We've been there before. We'll get into the trenches. We'll fight. There's nobody here that I won't fight for. Nobody. I've only been here one day. Guess what? I'll fight for you. Because it's in me. There's something in me that I want to see it through. I want to see God move in people's lives.
that you would persevere. Why are we adding? Why are we adding that to our faith? Because listen, you think about it. If we don't, think about the life of Joseph. If Joseph didn't have an attitude that I'm going to persevere no matter the situation, no matter the circumstance, when he got thrown in the pit the first time, I'm done. I'm checking out. You know, that wasn't good enough, right? His whole his family come against him, threw him in a pit. Then he stays, he perseveres through that. He overcomes, and now he gets appointed. He gets appointed, he gets elevated. And then Potiphar's wife, you know, there's another instance where he didn't do anything wrong. Guys, some of you didn't do anything wrong. But that you would persevere. You know, I heard Pastor Bracken talking about the other day. He said one thing interesting about Potiphar's wife. He said, I don't think that was the first time that had actually happened. I believe that Potiphar's wife was like that. And so she had just caught, there's not really any indication necessarily, but he said, I had the suspicion that you know, the reason he wasn't killed and put in jail was because Potiphar's wife was a little indiscreet anyway. So, you see what takes place is, like, you know, you want to add to your faith, perseverance. You remain in this place. You know what? I'm going to see myself through this. I'm going to see myself on the other side. King's Chapel, West Virginia, we're going to see ourselves on the other side. We're seeing ourselves on the other side. We're adding to our faith. We're adding to our faith. Guess what? I got good news. You're adding to your faith. You're adding to your faith. You got family members that need saved? What are you going to do? You're going to add to your faith. How do you do that? Through perseverance. You don't quit. You don't let up. You know what? Think about this. What it does is it puts something on the inside of you that's different. Because, guys, listen, too many people quit too easily. They quit too easily. They did, you know, I don't want to do that. I don't want to rub people the wrong way. They, you know, I just, what, da, da, da. It is an excuse after an excuse. Don't you persevere. The fight is the fight of faith. And all this, please, it goes back to faith. But add to your faith. When you get saved, you're not done. It's just the beginning. You catch that? When you get saved, thankful I'm going to heaven. Don't got to do anything else. That might be, you know, so, and I'm not going to tell people that they're not going to make heaven. Because the Bible says anybody calls upon the name of the Lord. But can you add to your faith? Yes, you can add to your faith. Man, and we got the Holy Spirit to help us. Think about that. And I think Peter had clear revelation of this. Even through some of the things that he was hard-headed about. Even through some of the things I know personally I've been hard-headed about. That you know, I can be hard-headed in the sense of persevering. That, you know, no matter what, we're going to see this thing through. We're going to make it happen. That comes through an understanding of diligence. You know, there's one thing about being diligent and steamrolling over people. There's another thing about being diligent and being diligent unto the Lord. You know, because sometimes you got to self-control. You got to know when to back away. You got to know when to speak. You got to know when to position yourself effectively. Amen. But I love this. To self-control, to perseverance, godliness. Why is godliness important? It's everything. That we don't just preach godliness, that we are godliness. That when people see you, they say, no, they're a Christian because they practice godliness. They're not rude. They're not this, they're not that. That godliness is, God wants us to be, add to your faith, godliness. You know, we could go through a list of things that deal with character at that point, right? But moral things, right? Integrity, responsibility, respect. You know, we could go through a list of so many things that deals with godliness. That our hearts be right with God and people. Yes, with people. Yes, with him first. Yes, that our hearts be right with him, but our hearts be right with people. Perseverance, godliness, the godliness, brotherly kindness. Man, I love this. Add to your faith. Add to your. Anybody catching anything today? Because I hope you are. Add to your faith. Brotherly kindness. Don't be rude. Don't be selfish. Brotherly kindness. What is, you know, kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. Self-control, fruit of the Spirit. Like these things, they're in you. You know, kindness, man, it can go a long ways. You guys with me today? Kindness can go a long ways. It's something, one of those things that, I mean, you ever meet somebody not so kind? You don't want to hang out around that person. You don't want to be, you know, they're just not so kind. Right? You know, you like being around people that are kind. Now, Brother John, you're a kind gentleman. You're a kind soul. Yeah, anywhere I go with him, it doesn't matter. I mean, we've covered some ground over the last week. We've been at Menards. Anywhere I go in Menards with Brother John, I look around Brother John's, he's kind. He's a kind man. He's talking to somebody. It's who he is. He's not doing it to be boastful. When he goes and buys donuts in the morning time, it's who he is. God did that in you, and I know that. You probably weren't so kind at one point in your life. You probably just didn't punch somebody in the head. So, but now, by the Spirit and through the Spirit, what happens is God changes that. Add to your faith. See, you don't just come into faith and everything's over, guys. Please, add to these things. Brotherly kindness. And from brotherly kindness, love. Love's the cornerstone. It's the foundation block, I guess, so to speak. Because without love, you don't have any of this. It's the foundation. It's that marker. It's that corner. Christ is the cornerstone, yes. But love, you real love. These are clear signs. Add to your faith these things. But you can't fake these things. Well, I'll just try to be kind because it won't work. Can I tell you why? It's because God sees through that. People think, well, people see through. You know, people will see through that, but God sees it. It's all birthed through love. We can't put on this persona and be fake. It's no. God sees. He knows us. Oh, my, help me, Lord. And even this week, when I started thinking about this word, I was like, Lord, help me. Help me. Lord, I need help in this area. That I can grasp your love, Father. How much you love. Help me to have that revelation. Not something fake, but a real, genuine love like you. Man, isn't God so good that He would bring that even full circle for us to understand. And I love this, you know, just even to go from there. It says, "For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Guys, we want to move into a greater revelation. This is a good list to look at. 1 Peter, it's a 2 Peter. It's a good list to look at. We, you know, because people say, "I want more knowledge of Jesus. I want more knowledge of the Bible. I want more knowledge of the Word." This right here, I'm telling you, if you grab a hold of this right here, you want greater revelation, grab a hold of what I believe is almost what Peter's saying and what's being released through the Word of God. You want a greater knowledge, you want a greater revelation, you got it. All these things are internal, right? These are things that you have to do. You know, it's like peace. You know, Brother John and I were talking about it this week. He's like, you know, I'm in a situation where, he said, you know, something come up and I'm not going to let it steal my peace. I'm making a decision today that I'm not letting it steal my peace. That's a choice. You can yield to that or not yield to that. I'm not letting this steal my peace. Church, that's where we have to be. We have to be in a, I'm not going to allow, I'm going to say no because I'm going to remain in faith. I'm gonna remain in faith, right? I'm going to persevere. I'm going to have self-control, godliness. I'm going to persevere through whatever it is that I need to persevere through. But I'm not going to allow this thing to steal my peace. The enemy, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Recognize where the attack is coming from. If you'll do that, you'll position yourself so quickly. Recognize where it's coming from. Guys, I'm preaching this message today because I know and I see it. I see it in the spirit. I see it in people. Everything is positioned to come up. Everything is positioned to grow. You know, everything that we remain diligent in will grow. You know, guys, Miranda doesn't start a garden just hoping. She didn't go out and throw a couple seeds. You got to work it. You got to remain diligent. You got to remain faithful. I just do whenever I feel like it. That's not diligence. Just doing whatever. You remain diligent. You got to work the garden. You got to till the garden. She looked at me the other day. I got bugs. Let's pray over the garden. Let's get rid of the bugs. She was on. We got raccoons and groundhogs and birds and crows. We got all kinds of stuff happening this year. And then bugs. Where do these crazy bugs come from? You know, it's like we got to call the bug. And she's researching all this stuff. I know I took a sidetrack here. Just bear with me. But I'm still talking about diligence, though, right? Because, you know, yeah, they're going to eat my garden. There's nothing I can do about it. No. You work the garden. You got time. You got time in it. Guys, you got time in being a Christian. Anybody got time? I've given my time. I'm committed to this thing. I'm not half committed. I'm wholly committed to Christ Jesus. I'm committed to the church. I'm committed as a pastor to this church. My wife is committed as a pastor. There are others in this church. You're committed. It's your commitment's to the Lord. Working to the Lord. If you're doing it, we don't work to please people or do it because, well, you know, somebody sees I'm going. It's not about that. We do it because we love Him. I don't do it because I get a paycheck. It has nothing to do with that. If it were about a paycheck, well, anyway, I don't even need to go there. It's not about that. I do it because I love Him. You do it because you love Him. Amen. For these things you abound, you will neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of... That's abundance to me. We've been talking about abundance. You won't be barren. You'll have... You know, Dr. Morocco, he was talking about abundance. And he made this comment. He was talking about seed... And he was talking about seed. And he said, you'll never give away what you don't possess. And if your possessions have you, you'll never be able to give it away. But even in that sense, I maybe butchered that a little bit, but maybe even in that sense, that we would abound, that we would never be barren, that we would never be unfruitful. Add to these things. Can I give you something? Because even in the first part of Peter, if you go look at it, this is a promise. These are promises given to you, the church, the body, believers, that we come into greater revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm tired. Me too. Guys, you get tired. You know, you get tired sometimes. That is that whole don't grow weary in well-doing. Stay the course, stay in it. You'll reap a harvest. You get tired. Brother Neil drove an hour and 15 minutes to get here today. Thank you. Abby drove an hour and plus whatever, you know. Thank you. I thank you. I know it's, you know, guys, I know it's not easy to wake up in the morning, you know, at 10 o'clock in Fairmont. I got to drive an hour and a half to get there. That's commitment, and I appreciate it. I, as your pastor, appreciate it. But that's perseverance, right? Because both of you probably could have said, you know, man, I could have stayed home today. I had this going on. Or this is going to throw my schedule off because of this or that. You know, it's but that I would remain. Remain in faith. Remain steadfast. Be diligent. Lord, I know you're doing something. I know you're speaking. Does anybody know that the Lord's speaking right now? He's doing something in your life. He's doing something in your life. He's speaking. He's saying something to you. He's releasing a greater faith. Stay diligent in it. Remain diligent in it. Watch this. It's my favorite saying. Used to be, watch this. I'm Brother Brian. Watch this. The Bible goes on to say, it says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Don't forget these things. Because what will happen when you move away out of faith and you look at this list and say, oh, I got to work on that. You got to pull yourself back in. You guys, you got to pull yourself back in. Who's responsible for you? You. God will help you, right? He'll bring people around. But who's responsible? You're responsible. Welcome to Christianity. Welcome to faith. You're responsible for you. You're responsible for your actions. You're responsible for your character. You're responsible for everything that comes out of your mouth. Think about that. You'll give an account for everything that comes out of your mouth. Ouch. That's why we need to learn about repentance. That's another message for another day. But we need to understand that. We need to understand the importance of that. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten what he is cleansed from, his sins, old sins. We've been reformed. It's why we move away from. We don't go back. When the enemy wants to come in, like a flood, he wants to remind us of our old life. You used to act this way. You used to act that way. Man, I've felt it. I felt it. You know, my family, I'll say it even in front of my family, my kids. My kids have seen the old me in my temperance. They've seen that look of from dad. And dad said, you know what? I've worked to crucify that old man, right? My kids have seen it. You've seen it, haven't you, Gracia? You've seen that, the crazy eyes dad gets, right? You've seen it, Zephan? No. Well, dad's a Christian. Yeah, dad is a Christian. But dad's got to check himself with the word, right? Don't return back to those things. Okay? He's put something in you to change you. It's him. It's the Holy Spirit. And I love this. It says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and your election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. That's powerful. How do you not stumble as a Christian? You got it up on the board. Go back to that passage. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and your election sure. For if you do these things, what things are we talking about? We're talking about these things in 1 Peter, right? if you do these things, be even more diligent to make your call and your election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. I mean, we go in here and say, who in here stumbled? Everybody's hand goes up, right? Yeah, we've all stumbled. But let's quit stumbling. Let's do what the Word shows us to do. Let's examine the Word. Let's look within. Amen? You know, God, I want to say this because I think sometimes people don't realize that when they get saved, how important your life is to others. How important your life becomes to others. It's the most powerful thing. And you know, we can look at things sometimes and be like, you know, people get frustrated. People get upset when you get saved or when you get you serve the Lord. You start doing things that honor God. People get upset. People complain. People try to pull you out of it. Who do you think you are? You holy now? Yeah, I am. I am. You think you're better? No, it's not about being better. I'm found in him. I'm found in him. I'm better because of him. I can never be better upon myself, but I'm better because of him. But guys, listen, I want you to understand this today. You're the link. You're the link. You're the link to people. These things that I went over today, I would pray that you would take some time and meditate upon these things. Are you doing these things? Is this demonstrated in your walk with Jesus? This was my check this week. Is this demonstrated in my life as a pastor? Because if I'm going to grow my faith, if my faith level is going to come up higher, man, there's a list of things that I've got to check. There's a box here that I need to check. There's some things that I've got to identify with. And, you know, because, you know, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and your election sure. For if you do these things, you will not stumble. I'm tired of watching people stumble. There's been times I've been tired of watching myself stumble. To be reminded, you know, Miranda will sometimes look at me, and it's great because that's the accountability we have in our marriage. That's the accountability we have. It's like, you know, are you reading the Word? That accountability. You think that's small, but it's like because I get on a project, I go. How many ever hours? You know, she'll come and she'll say, you know, are you covering that? And I said, yeah, I did that this morning, and I needed to break away, and I got to, you know, just even that side of accountability, man, it's so important because you can get short-sighted. You can get blind. Anybody ever get blinders? You're just going to go, and whatever happens, happens, right? You can't live that way. You got to live for with a true love from Jesus. I believe this is the hour. I do. An hour to God doesn't measure time, but I believe this is a time of great transition for this church. It's not about just leaving this building and going to another building. Buildings are great. There'll be some things that become that will make things very easy there. But we can't lose sight of this. We can't lose sight of the Word. We can't lose sight of doing what God's asked us to do. And I promise you, in remaining diligent in it, He's a rewarder to those that diligently seek Him. So, you know, I got to pursue Him, amen, with a passion. I got to pursue, you know, and above that, beyond that, I got to pursue what He's placed in my heart to pursue. Guys, that's people. That's people. It's people. Why are we here? It's because of people. There's no other reason. There's no other reason than why God establishes a church other than to grow people. To disciple people. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That's what it's about. And, you know, this church has been in a place of recruiting and discipling for 5 years now, very consistently for 5 years. I believe there's a great release upon this house. There's a great release coming upon the people of this house. People will move from this place of waiting or, you know, thinking and now moving into an area of faith saying, no, I'm going this way. I want to pray for our transformation team today. That's why I feel like God's going to do something great within our transformation team. I was in a meeting Saturday, you know, just talking about this community with a community leader. Powerful. Wants to see this county radically change for Jesus. And I'm like, you're speaking my language. And those things are going to begin to happen. They're going to begin to be facilitated. And we have people that are just ready to, I believe, ready to go. Amen? Ready to step into it. Amen.
Add to your faith. Add to your faith. Minister, if you would. You know, Pastor Miranda this Wednesday is going to be, you know, sharing a message, and I don't even know what that message is. I know she's working on it this weekend. To your youth and those that are graduating and those that are moving on. And you know, maybe to another level even, maybe another grade level or maybe to a job or whatever it is. But I don't know what her message is, but I would say this. That if a man or a woman be found diligent, once saved, once you get saved, if you be found to be diligent in these areas of your life, I mean, it clearly says that you're not going to stumble. But I'm going to tell you, I believe that the greatest thing, you know, the greatest thing comes upon you from the Lord. The purpose, the call, whatever it is. God's in the business of growing things. Isn't that cool? He's in the business of growing things. That we would pursue it with a passion. Amen. Abby, just stand up right there.
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name." And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.